Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell here for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We have to stay for three?
What?
Can't we let Dell have an extra 30?
Well, I would like to have just 2.5 and Dell. Dell takes over. Then he does a 2.5 hour show, and we do a 2.5 hour show.
Actually,
we eat
up into his show almost every day.
And that makes it fair. The Warriors lose 5 in a row. No Steph. No Draymond. And Jonathan Kuminga destroys you. A career high, 33. The Rockets are, they can't, what is the deal with their shooting? Holy crap, it's awful. It is awful. I mean, they can't hit, and Jalen's throwing stuff up. Jalen Green, his numbers are just ridiculous. It's ridiculous from game to game what you're going to get out of Jalen. He's so good, and then he sucks. And then he's so good, and then he sucks. There is no consistency with him. None. He was another crap last night. They were all crap last night, though. Mm-hmm. Nobody could shoot. That was awful. Against that team. I mean, Jonathan Kuminga owning you?
I'll be honest with you. I kind of felt like they were a four-point favorite, and I just thought, this is the kind of game where you have these guys out, and you end up winning. You end up, like, I've seen this from a handicapping standpoint so many times. Rockets weren't ready to be a favorite on the road in this game. It doesn't matter if those players were there. It's a West Coast swing. They're not ready. And you know what? For being a defensive-minded team, they don't really have a clamp down. Like, they don't clamp down on guys. I think Amen can be that kind of guy, but they don't really clamp down on individuals who get hot. Have you ever noticed that? Like, there's not one guy that's a stopper necessarily, or at least they don't seem to play like it. I don't know. I mean,
nobody could stop Kuminga. And it's Jonathan Kuminga. It's not like it's LeBron. Holy crap. He owned them. But there was one. It was 87-85.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rockets and the Warriors miss a shot. And Jonathan Kuminga is under the basket. And you know who's blocking him out? Fred VanVleet.
Oh, yeah.
All he did was just go up and he tipped it in, and that, to me, that was the biggest play of the game. You got the ball. If you can grab a rebound, you got the ball with a chance to tie. Not that you would have made any baskets anyway,
mm-hmm.
but they went on another drought. This team, do you want to talk about, they had a second quarter drought.
Well, they started the game on a drought.
Yeah, I mean, and then another second quarter, and then another one at the end of the game where they just can't hit anything. Driving miss by Jalen. Jalen throws up a three. Alpi can't hit anything. Fred VanVleet with another rainbow. He's trying to hit the rafters every shot now. I mean, he hit a couple of his rainbows. These three-pointers, he's throwing straight up in the air, mm-hmm. and they're coming straight down. But, my goodness, man, make a shot.
I know.
This team is awful.
And you know what
else?
Reed Sheppard is not right now. I think Reed does need playing time. I think Reed, I don't know if the Rockets will do it because they do have him in the rotation. I mean, he does get minutes. But they may need to get him down in the G League to just get some reps because, you know, he's just not – he's a shooter, but he needs shots. He needs to be out there getting more minutes. For the season right now, he's shooting, 32% from three. He's getting 11 minutes a game, shooting 32%. You need him around the 40% mark.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Who he's going to be in his career. So why not, you know, it might make some sense to bring up. I know that Reed can get you some primary ball handler looks if you need. Maybe just let Whitmore get his minutes and send Reed down. Let Reed get some time. Well, what's the like? Isn't that what the G League's for? Yeah. It's not an. It shouldn't be considered an embarrassment. I know he's the third pick of the draft, and maybe that's one of those unwritten rules. You don't send a third pick of the draft down to the G League. But well, man, he sure could use some minutes. You know.
Well, normally the third pick of the draft doesn't go to a team that's fighting to be a top five team in the West.
Right.
Normally the third pick in the draft is goes to a crappy team and he plays right away.
Right.
You know, so that.
But if you're going to be a top five team in the West, you need to win games like this where, you know, top players are not playing for the other side.
That's it. That was a bear. Fred VanVleet, 5 of 16, 3 for 10. Jabari Smith, 2 for 8. 7 for 15. Shangun, 6 for 13. Jalen, 4 for 16. Mm-hmm. 4 for 16. Mm-hmm. 36 minutes. Get him out of there. Put Amen in. Put Reed, get him out of there when he's playing like this. His numbers, look at these last four games. 4 of 16, 25% from the field, 0 for 4 from 3, 14 points. 34 minutes, 9 of 14 against Sacramento, 5 of 8 from 3, 28 points. That's a nice game. Oh, the game before, 2 for 6 and 1 for 3, 9 points. The game before, 12 of 20. 4 for 6 from 3, 41 points.
You know, but you say all this, John.
The game before, 3 for 9. The game before, 3 for 14.
Do you know that they're at number 7 in the league in field goal percentage?
Well, not listen, when they go
I'm joking, they're 29th.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. hang on. No, 30, 29, 28. They're 27th in the league. They shoot 43.7%. They're 3 from the bottom, and the only teams worse than them are the 76ers, the Pelicans, and then the Charlotte Hornets.
And look at in here at the end of the game, they're down by 4, 95-91. Jonathan Kuminga is in the post, and Fred VanVleet is guarding him. Mm-hmm. What the hell? Ime, you're a defense, you're genius. You're genius. What the hell? How do you switch out and Fred VanVleet is on Jonathan Kuminga, who's the hottest player in the world? How does that happen? And he's got to follow him, and he goes to the line, and you lose. I mean, this is with 38 seconds left. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
You know, it's just a game of give and take for them. They're 26th in the league in 3-point shooting. They're 27th in overall field goal percentage. They're first in rebounding. They're the top rebounding team in the league at almost 50 per game, followed right behind them by the Golden State Warriors. You know, it's just one of those, and in steals, oh my gosh, they got to be high in steals. Yeah, they're actually not as high as I thought. They're 10th in steals, which is okay. They're in the top six in blocks. Like, you know, it's right now. It's their game is not going to be offensive. It's not going to be. They'll score points in bunches based on activity level, points off turnovers, just athletic scores, streaky shooting. But it's not in some ways. I mean, there's some mirroring to the University of Houston as well, although not to the same drastic extreme. Where Houston, I mean, that offense can just really go in a funk. But the Rockets are just not a great shooting team, and the sooner Reed Sheppard becomes a better shooter at some point in the near future, and near future could be next year, by the way, Reed Sheppard will be a very good shooter, and he'll be a key component of the Rockets. It may not be this year, though. The timing may not be this year. Would the Rockets consider trying to add a shooter to the roster? I don't think they would. I really don't. I think Ime and Rafael Stone will try to, like, when I say a shooter, I'm not talking about a superstar. If they want to add a superstar, they've got the horses to add a superstar. But would they add a shooter, like trying to find? They're already having a hard time finding, you know, stable minutes for everyone as it is. The minutes are already out there, and they're not going. You'd have to trade a starter or a core backup to be able to get a shooter who's going to make a difference on this team. And I don't see them doing that. So it's just going to be the gang that can't shoot straight, and then the gang that rebounds and gets steals and hustles defense. That's who they're going to be, a defensive-minded team. I mean, but it's not like they can't score, but it's also not like they can't go through stretches where they have bad defensive games, too.
I never understood that, why if you're a defensive team that you can't be decent offensively.
But it's like in every sport.
Yeah, every sport.
It's like every sport. It's, you know, like a run-and-shoot team could never be good. Yeah, Texas Tech could never even be functional as a defense.
Well, that makes a little bit of sense because your offense is so fast and you're on the field so much defensively. That makes more sense. But the fact that you, because you play defense, means that you can't shoot. I mean, we got two teams in Houston that personify that, the Cougs and the Rockets, that you can't shoot. I don't get it. You got guys who've been in that can play, that can shoot. Although Fred VanVleet has never been a 2-point good.
No, but you know what bothers me? Somebody had a video of Jabari Smith shooting at Mississippi State, and Auburn rather. And then actually, they played Mississippi State in one of the games that they had, and they had clips of him, highlights. And I remember in this Miss State game, he was lighting them up, and it was what they showed, and what's very obvious was he had a lot more arc on the ball. You know, with arc on the ball, it creates an angle that makes it easier to make baskets. You know, with more arc, you have you encompass the largest part of the rim, with the diameter of the rim. When you're flat, it really alters the amount of rim that you have open to you as a shooter. And so his arc was so much better in Auburn. Watching this highlight tape, it's like really noticeable, really, really noticeable. And I worry a little bit. Now, it's longer. The three-point shot is longer, so you worry if he's having to muscle it a little bit more. But these are big guys. I know he's skinny, but they can shoot jumpers from 35. Yeah, exactly. So I don't get it. Like, he should be a better shooter from distance by now, a more consistent shooter from distance. At some point, Jalen Green's got to get better from distance. He's got to. And if he's only going to be a penetrate and dunk and an explosive player, then that's fine. But try to find a way to limit the amount of threes he shoots.
Yeah. I mean,
and I don't know what to do with Fred VanVleet. Like, he just has too many of these games where I'm almost thankful for 3-for-10 games from the 3 for Fred. I'm like, well, at least it wasn't 1-for-12. At least it wasn't 2-for-14. Like, he only shot 10 times and made 3. That's kind of good. 30% is kind of good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm watching the Jonathan Kuminga clincher with 16 seconds left.
You call him Kuminga?
Fred VanVleet is on him again.
No, because Fred
what
D's
the
up.
Hell?
Fred D's up.
No, not Jonathan Kuminga. He's got like 12 inches on him.
Fred doesn't allow 2 points. Oh, no, he doesn't make 2-pointers. That's right. My bad.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It was
what the hell? How is it that Fred VanVleet is always on Jonathan Kuminga?
Hey, well, I was watching
that. That's Steve Kerr beating Ime. If you're scheming so Fred VanVleet always ends up on Jonathan
switches.
Kuminga, that is Steve Kerr beating Ime.
Yeah, but that's just basic. Just create switch and then go to the switch defender.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But,
and keep on doing it. Keep on
but
doing
you
it.
Can
there
fight
are three
over.
Instances that I just mentioned. Under the basket with the tip. In the post where Fred VanVleet had to follow him, and then the game winner where Fred VanVleet is on him, and barely gets any help from Brooks to coming into the lane. Brooks came over too late. You cannot tell me that is not scheming when you end up with three times in crucial situations a guy that's a foot taller than the other guy.
Well, you just say
every time.
I'm curious why Ime would just say don't switch it up.
Yeah.
If we have this, we're not switching up on that's just one sentence you have to say. Hey, we're not switching on Kuminga. Anything that any switches on Kuminga, Fred. If it's Fred, you don't switch. Stay your guy because they've been doing this and they're going to keep trying to do this to us. So that doesn't really make a lot of sense that they would allow themselves to continue to get beat by a switch that you don't have to make.
I mean,
because it's a team that's an athletic team. They can fight. They can switch it or not switch it. But it seems like switch teams for all of eternity, switch teams never vary. They switch everything. And I'm just not a huge fan. I know the thought in the NBA is you can't switch, you can't go under the screen because, you know, you have to switch it rather because if you go under, they'll hit the three on you. If you go over, then you get wrapped up in the pick and roll, and that's not good. And I'm just like, well, A, teams aren't as good at they're not as good finishers as they once were. You can maybe go over the top a little bit more. And then B, I don't know, man. I'd rather take my chances with some of these guys shooting threes, playing under it, or just showing at the top at the screen. Let the screener show, you know, defender on screener show at the top to just try to keep him from shooting, and then settle back. Because when you're always a switching team, you're extremely predictable how you can attack that team. I mean, you see in the postseason all the time. One high screen and roll, team switches, and then the offense actually starts it. Okay, now we're isolated on this guy. We're going to play a one-on-one at the top. Rockets do it sometime with Alperen. Sometime the Rockets on switches, they'll wait for switches and let Alperen go against a smaller guy. But, yeah, it's not great. They lose that one in a preview of what you're going to see, although you're going to see a lot better players for the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Cup that is coming up. Dell, they did not rest. They did not rest anyone, though, Dell,
listen,
the Rockets.
Couldn't be a worse matchup. They've lost 15 in a row to Golden State. 15 in a row.
The Warriors rested.
15 in a row, and that's without Steph and Draymond.
The Warriors are resting up to win that cup.
Yeah, they rested their best players.
They want to win that cup.
And the Rockets didn't and still took the L. So I just think there should be more strategy looked into. Now, well, I will say this. Now the Rockets know that Kuminga, they'll be trying to switch Kuminga on Fred VanVleet. So now when the games matter more, you have a plan in place.
Hopefully. You didn't want to show, like you said, Dell, you don't want to show your actual
John,
plans.
I know you're furious about Emane allowing it to happen, but maybe in moments in games that actually matter, he will have a strategy that he didn't employ last night. NBA Cup action, I don't think you're going to see Kuminga on Fred VanVleet
over
and over
and over
again.
That's not how we do the cup, John.
So you think that maybe Ime was pulling the yarn away from the
bait and switch.
So Fred VanVleet was just a ploy.
Remember when Greg Maddux threw that pitch to get rocked, to get grooved? He said he threw it intentionally to get grooved inside because he wanted the hitter to see it for the next time he played him because he was same thing Ime's doing. He's like, let's show him the switch. The old bait and, it's switch, a bait and switch. Literal bait and switch.
And what
he's doing.
The Warriors
now.
Just are going to assume that when they need a bucket late, they can get Kuminga on Fred VanVleet. But when it matters, in NBA Cup action here in Houston won't be allowed.
Yeah. Ime's got something different coming this time. I can feel
just
it.
Just be ready for it.
I can feel it in my plums.
Yep. All right. That's a good call, Dell.
So relax.
I feel a lot better now.
I know you're frustrated by last night, but just remember.
It's all set up.
Long-term view, John.
Yeah, that was a short game. This is the long con that Ime's pulling on Steve Kerr.
Ime wanted to lose that 15th in a row.
I mean, he would have been fine winning it, but he's not going to give away his strategies.
Winning also is cool.
Yeah, he would have hoped to have won. I'm not saying he went out there to lose, but we're not going to give away our strategies meaningless basketball game.
Was part of his strategy for Jalen to throw up 4-for-16?
Well, the minute you start him, you know that's a possibility.
That's it. No, absolutely.
I mean, you have
especially if he played well the game before.
You have two starting guards shooting under 40%.
Yeah,
you can expect those type of nights. That's who they are.
You think, especially after a 12-for-20,
it's got to balance.
Guess
out.
What's going to happen?
It's got to balance out, John. He's not a 48% shooter. He's a 39% shooter. So if he's good on one night, he's going to be off of the next.
Yeah, and that's Jalen. That's
it's
team.
What it's. All right, it's what all right, it is. Got, it's not a surprise.
No, we got a break right here. 713-780-3776 is the number. It's just man. Come on, guys. They don't even have Steph or Draymond. Come on. All right, and they lost 5 in a row. They're reeling. They suck right now, and they beat you again. Holy crap! Hey, you know what's really really good though?
Why you sound like Charlie Cashley? Hey, all right.
Hey, see.
Okay.
No, hey,
HRP. All right.
Ford Bronco. See. Hey, the Ford Bronco Sport and the Ford Bronco are awesome, awesome, awesome. And you Jeep owners, you got a Jeep, you want to trade it in, $2,000 off right off the top. Plus all the other incentives as well. They got plenty of them. Plus with the Ram truck, you got a Ram truck, you want to trade it in for an F-150, boom, $2,000 more off for trading it in. Now, you also got unbelievable deals right now. Financing specials on the F-150s, 1.9 for 60 months. Ridiculously low. Now, the Broncos, 5.9 for 60 months, 7.9 for 72 months. Okay. You got Bronco Sport. This is my favorite deal. $369 a month with nothing down on a lease. $369. That is a great way. And, listen, after 3 years, they're going to want to get rid of that car anyway. You leased it. You pay $370 a month. What a deal to get that kid started in a vehicle. Do that this Christmas. Okay, get the Ford Bronco Sport Big Bend, and you got yourself a great vehicle, new vehicle, for the first 3 years of them driving. That's a great way to start things out. That's what's happening in the Chastang Ford. On top of that, no add-ons, no markups, great service, everything that you're going to love about Chastang Ford. It's happening in the Chastang Ford. I'm not sure it's happening everywhere, but it's happening in the Chastang Ford on 610 at Homestead, not Homestead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, it's funny. Dell and I were talking about this during the break, and I mean, there's three different stories. Apparently, did you guys see the Florida hot? This is the headline. Florida hottie sentenced to 20 years for leading nearly $200 million Ponzi scheme. A 41-year-old Johanna Garcia, 20 years in prison. She's blonde. She's pretty. A Ponzi scheme. What about the Hawk Tua girl? She launched a crypto, $50 million. In minutes, it was gone. $50 million gone.
Yeah. Well, it hit the premium. It started off, it originally shot up to $600 million. And within minutes, everyone had been, I guess it sold down. I guess that's how it worked. Just everyone was selling. Which is understandable if you're getting that kind of money on the top end,
right?
Get out. But I don't know that they even got that type of money. I think they sold enough. I think what happened was there's a valuation for, I think it's 50,000 per coin or something like that, and then they sold X amount that equaled that high valuation, and people instantly went, "Oops!"
Within three hours, the coin had plunged 91% carry evaluation.
So
just 41.7 when it started at 490.
So decentralized money, which is really more of a philosophy than an actual tangible. It's not tangible. It's more philosophical, the money. So all that money went on a girl who spits on junk.
Yeah.
Got hot in a meme that was out there.
Right.
And some videos and songs and stuff like that. She launches this, and you put your money into it and lost it. Oh, that's a surprise.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to hit the ball down the middle. You don't need to do the wildest, craziest stuff like betting on a girl that spits on things. I'm just saying, that's not the bet you make. Like, you know where I'd like to put some of this money? Remember that girl that says she spits on it, and then do you remember the... I spit on that thing. Hawk Tua spit. Yeah. Listen, there's a financial instrument that I've got an opportunity to invest in from her. And I think this might be smart, honey. This is where we probably need to put little Bethany's money. I mean, I don't know.
That was two of the hotties in my courtroom.
You think that girl's a hottie? I think she's a high.
Oh, no, she's high. She's high.
Okay, she's high.
All right, no, and then the Floridian. But did you see the Colombian hit woman known as the doll?
Uh-uh. Ooh, that sounds like a
good one. Arrested for several murders, including her boyfriend. And
that one was personal.
Ex-boyfriend,
excuse me.
Either way, well, he's dead now.
She is a hottie patati, not guilty.
John's ruled her.
How would you like to break up with a known assassin?
Yeah, you can't get into that relationship.
A paid assassin. Like you can't get out of that.
Some people don't have foresight. Generally speaking, a relationship's not going to work. You're not, by work, I mean last the test of time, just how the math says. You're not going to be in that relationship forever. So what happens when it ends?
I have a friend of mine.
The hit woman on the other
hand. Yeah, it's not going to go well. I had a friend of mine. I had a friend of mine who, in college, wrote a bunch of like hot checks to Sonic to get the brown bag special to get hamburger, you know, because we were all poor. And he had written some hot checks, and then his girlfriend, who he was like kind of over, covered all those hot checks and the hot check fees, and then he couldn't break up with her. He's like, I can't. She stepped in and saved my ass for like $200, I guess. I gotta stay with her longer.
Stay with her for 200.
Toxic relationship got even worse because he didn't want to be there, but he felt like he had to because, you know, the hot check payments.
Well, my question about the hottie killing her ex boyfriend is, what did he say? I mean, what did he say?
Mm.
So, I mean,
if he was provoked.
If he said something out of line, then
I really,
you know what?
Frankly, don't.
I've got to hear the entire case. Okay?
I don't even want to.
I'm the judge.
Honestly, I don't even want to comment on this.
If you missed her arrest,
well, she got arrested.
Yes. Well, if you missed the video of her being arrested, she was in a crop top and shorts.
Okay, what's her name again?
The doll. That's all I know.
The doll.
I don't know her real name.
Yeah. The doll. Colombian hit woman.
Yeah,
hit,
you'll that, find it.
You'll find her.
Oh, yeah.
She did the perp walk. And,
okay.
And you know what? I
gang
know.
Related might, murder.
I'm leaning not guilty.
So she
I'm
is.
Not
yeah.
guilty.
There's a lot of factors that'll get you to that verdict. Namely, you know, she's a Colombian hit woman, and she may work for people who want her out. You might have to.
We need to ask
forget
Melissa
about
if
how
she knows her.
That's not. Okay. Forget about her being attracted. The fact that she works for people who ask her to kill people, you might just rule not innocent or not guilty for that reason.
Her
yeah,
name is.
Yeah, she's.
Do you know
good.
Her, do you know what her first name is?
What's her first name?
Karen.
Well,
that's unbelievable. Her name is Karen Juliet Ojeda Rodriguez, and she's known to police by the alias La Muñeca. What does muñeca
yeah,
mean,
the
John?
Doll.
Oh,
the doll.
Okay, of course, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, muñeca is a doll. So
a dangerous hit woman.
Yep. Yep, 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 yep. She is, I'm going to hold judgment. That's all I'm saying.
You want to give her a fair shot? Yeah, that's I mean, it. I can see why you would do that.
I hate
as I
her
look
being
at this.
Locked up all that time. That's all I'm saying. All right. That's
oh,
our,
yeah. She had,
that's
yeah.
our female crime segment right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Not to be confused with our Rockets Can't Shoot segments.
Which is, that's male crime. They committed a crime of.
Do you see the United Healthcare assassin?
Inaccuracy.
He's got a picture of him smiling like there's no mask. They're gonna. I think they're probably gonna.
Oh
him
no,
him.
They got him. They knew who he was yesterday. They were. The manhunt. Yeah, they knew. The cops knew already. There was a manhunt going on.
So they know the guy.
They know the guy.
Okay.
Yeah, they know who he is.
Yeah,
they
he
saw
was.
Him. There was videos of him riding his bike.
This is too many. There's too
the
many cameras to get. That's
there's
why
way
Hitman.
Too many. You can't, listen, I mean, it used to be so much easier to kill people.
A hitman.
Now there's all these cameras. And
well, because they
this.
Can follow you, you can backtrack where you've been. They can. There's
DNA
so many cameras.
Evidence?
Now you say that, but nobody at the University of Texas will be punished for their bottle throwing.
Yeah,
like, hey, that
we
all,
can
that,
track this guy through multiple cameras, but like
all these stationary people who didn't leave after
did the,
after they,
did the
did
call
they
change?
Did
the call change?
Yes.
Okay. Not
the,
guilty.
But they will not. The University of Texas will not punish any of those fans. They did their investigation and said, we can't determine who
honestly,
did it.
Honestly, nor should they.
There was plenty of DNA on all those bottles. Plenty of DNA. They could have found out.
I don't
out
know if they're using that.
Just
I just think there's cameras everywhere. You didn't have any cameras pointed at that crowd to identify who did what. Nah, we don't know. Oh, and we've been doing Free Aziz. Well, not us, but people have. Now there are shirts. What about Free Bevo?
Oh, no.
Free Bevo. They're not allowing Bevo at the title game. Because of, you know, he might murder a dog.
Please, that would be awesome again.
No!
All right, time to break it here. Yeah, that's right. Cows should be, steers should be dogs. I'm sorry.
You just want dogs to die?
Yeah.
No, he's not a dog guy.
It's the natural order.
Yeah, he's not a dog guy.
No.
He's a cat guy.
No.
Yeah, Jinxie the cat.
No. Steers aren't dogs' natural predators. What do you mean?
Yeah,
the natural order of things.
No, they don't even.
Are.
No, you
I
have
so.
You have
they're
the,
bigger and stronger. That's all. Big case closed. Time to talk about, you know, who's bigger and who's been one of the biggest window guys in the city of Houston, and that's Jim Fiume. Jim Fiume is really awesome. Jim Fiume has been doing this for over 36 years. Dude was, I mean, he came here from New York, and you could tell right away when you talk to Jim, he's originally from New York. But the thing about him is he was an orphan and a self-made man, and what a successful businessman. What a great company that he has started here. I mean, started. It's 36 years old, and it's still the leading. I mean, here's the deal, is we ain't skimping on anything, okay? We're going to put the best windows in with the best installation, with a great warranty for you. These windows are basically guaranteed because of this warranty that you get. I mean, it's incredible. Everything about it, not only the windows, but the doors as well. So I don't know if you're building or if you got to redo your stuff. Well, guess what? You want to redo it with Gulf Coast Windows because you get the primo prime, the best, the windows with best security, best value, best they add value to your home, best security, privacy, everything. Gulf Coast Windows. Tell Jim Fiume you heard it right here. 713-849-5454 or gulfcoastwindows.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before we get to the Packers-Lions last night, let's get Elliot in here. We got a caller, Elliot, who's been here before. See what his thoughts are this morning on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What up, Elliot?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. Hey, just wanted to give a quick shout-out to Game Day Men's Health. I went yesterday to the Willowbrook location and got my levels checked and discussed potential TRT and peptides, and it couldn't have been a better staff there. Sean and the team, they were very helpful, very informative, and everything was quick and easy. So I've been to many clinics over the years, and this was – I'm not just saying that this was definitely one of the best, so I definitely wanted to call in and give some kudos to Sean and his team, and just say it was a very, very simple process, very informative, and we got a game plan going, and it was quick and easy, and couldn't have been a better experience.
How about that? How about that? Way to go, Elliot. I appreciate it. Appreciate it, man. We love when you guys use our sponsors and whatnot. And I'm telling you, and Elliot just told you there, it's just different there. It's just different. It's better. I've been doing testosterone treatment for a long time too, and it's just better. It really is. So that is awesome, awesome, awesome. Congratulations. I appreciate you, Elliot. We love when you guys use our sponsors. Thank you very much, because that helps us a bunch. That helps us a ton.
Absolutely.
So, Elliot, thank you for that. That is great stuff. Yeah, and I love Game Day. I just made my appointment yesterday, as a matter of fact, myself, for when I come into town. I'm coming in not next week, but the week after, and I'm going to go see him.
So do we want to talk about, okay, for some reason my TV wouldn't allow me to watch Prime, so I had to watch the Lions game on my phone, which is and then when I tried to stream it to my TV, only the audio would play and not the video, but all my other apps work, so I don't know what's going on there. But so I watched a lot of the game, unfortunately, on my phone, which I hate doing. But, okay, two ways to look at this. The Lions have escaped against the Texans, against the Packers, and against the Bears. But they're all wins. They've won every single one of those games. How do we look at that? I only look at it as a positive. Personally, I just look at it as a positive. I do think they're not a super team. They can be beaten. What I take from it is they know how to win. That's how I look at that. I wondered if you looked at it differently. Like, hey, do you look at it at all as, hey, they're there to be had? I don't really. I don't know. I don't process it like that.
No, I don't. Now, I will say this about the Chiefs. I mean, we're being a little hypocritical because we've been, we've been talking about the Chiefs all year long. And
block field goals, and they're not looking good. And no good. The Lions, no. The only game they looked fine against the Bears. They looked good against, I thought. Remember now, they've lost their top four of their top five linebackers are out. Their best pass rushers out. Aaron Glenn is doing it with a skeleton staff. Do you know how many he's got right now two practice squad guys who are starting for him right now, full time starters. They have and they keep on pumping it up. I mean, I had 34 points. That's the difference for me between them and Kansas City. Well, Kansas City's not impressive offensively.
Are those guys coming back? Because here's the deal.
No.
I don't mind a really good defensive team like the Chiefs, because defense wins championships. Are you going to be able to win with practice squad guys when it comes down to it? Maybe we're seeing that there is a chink in the armor here with the Lions.
Well, you got to be able to outscore if that's the case, and that's what they can't do.
But you know what? That's dangerous.
Well,
that's
stay dangerous in the number one hole so that you only have to play indoors.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that is true. That is true. And if they stay in that one hole, then they'll be just fine, because home field for the Lions is tremendous.
It's really important too, considering the injuries that they have. But it's just such a. They're now 15-22 on fourth down conversions. And watching that game, I did get frustrated with the offense. I'm like, we've got to discount Jared Goff right now, a discount Dan Campbell. We got to discount Ben Johnson. That would be Bobby Slowick, offense coordinator, Matt Campbell, Dan Campbell, D'Amico Ryans, and Jared Goff. And
you said C.J. Stroud's discount Jared Goff?
This year he is. He's one of the worst. Dell, we got to really face this. Ooh. This is what people don't like. Well, this year he is. Last year, CJ was better than Jared Goff to me.
Well,
but this year,
Lance's comp on him in college was Jared Goff.
I think they're very similar. But right now, he's playing like a discount Jared Goff. Go look at the stats. Go look at the numbers. People are not being honest. They're not being honest about about C.J. Stroud. When I went and looked at the numbers this week, I'm like, holy crap. He is one of the worst-rated quarterbacks in quarterback rating. He has one of the lower completion percentage, and his touchdown-to-interception ratio is the same as Deshaun Watson's. Like, it's a 5-3 ratio. It's not great. It's really not. There's nothing you can point to. His explosive throws, like, there is nothing you can point to with C.J. Stroud where you say, he's one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league in this area.
I got a question.
That's it. Only yards.
I got a question for you, Del. Why were you like,
Well, he knows what it sounds like to the general public.
It's just a stark contrast from what anyone would say even now. I don't know why year one means more to people than year two when it's a short sample for him, a small sample for him. We've only had not a full season two, but why would year one make people believe more about him than what this year's done? Because every time you say he's not played well, there's a reference to how good he was last year, and you start placing blame on others.
Well,
I don't mind what Lance said.
No,
Dell knows what the
there are people that are saying even still. There are people that are saying even still today that without him, the Texans would be a 5-8 team, not an 8-5 team.
Well, sure,
and that's true.
Oh, well, that's true.
There's
a
gap between a starting quarterback and a bad backup.
Yeah,
sure.
I wouldn't argue that, but
they probably would be worse.
Well, wait, discount meaning discount. I know people look at that, but think about this: D'Amico Ryan's decision making and having his guys ready and all that stuff. It's not Dan Campbell's. It's discount. Jared Goff has played exceptionally well, with the exception of one game that he still ended up winning over C.J. Stroud. C.J.'s been a discount Jared Goff. He's in the, you know, I think he's in a conversation, but he's not at that level. Ben Johnson over you know, it's not close between Ben Johnson and Bobby Sloak right now, the two play callers. Ben Johnson's so creative, and, you know, that was just a basic little dart route he threw, the touchdown to Jahmyr Gibbs, but he knew he had. See, that's where Brad Holmes went and drafted Jahmyr Gibbs, and everyone went running back. And he's not even an 18 to 20 carry back in the first round. He's a mismatch guy. Those are the guys you want for championship seasons. Yeah. This is what you do when you want to build that special offense. You go get a mismatch guy, and man, has he been incredible! You got a bully with David Montgomery, you got a mismatch guy and slasher with Jahmyr Gibbs. They're just built exceptionally well. Brad Holmes has done so. Really, the Lions, the Texans are a discount. We're a discount Lions right now.
Look at how Tim Patrick has come on too.
On
Holy
offense,
crap! Oh, I mean, that is now.
This is a guy with Achilles injuries in his background, and
I mean, okay. So what were you thinking? 4th and inches in a tie game at the Green Bay 20, and you're going for it.
I thought Dan's going to go for this. I bet he goes for it. You're literally tied, but Green Bay would have got the ball back with what, John? 40 seconds? 41 seconds, I think.
It was 43, and it would have been 38 or so.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah, depending on what kind of play it was. So they would have
still had a field goal.
Even if you make the field goal, they still have a chance, and they got a good field goal kicker. Even if you make it, they have a chance to get down the field and score a field goal, but they wouldn't have any timeouts left. It'd be very, very difficult. Instead of taking the play that even analytics would tell you, this is the play, just take the field goal. Dan Campbell said, bleep you. We got an offensive line that's going to whip your ass, and we're going to show you. And they did. Jared Goff stumbled, and I thought it was a fumble. I thought he reached, and I thought at first it was a fumble, but I was wrong. It was just David Montgomery firing through the line of scrimmage for about 3 yards. But Jared Goff stumbled and fell, and I thought, for 1 second I thought, Dan Campbell's going to have to answer for this. And then it was a first down.
Yep. That was that's just – you know, it's not, there's balls, and then there's smart.
I'm not sure
that was smart. And how about Packer fans? He was down. Goff was down. His knee hit the ground.
No one touched him.
Why is that any different than a kneel down? Why is that any different? That stops the play. Shut up. 713-780-3776. Man, that Lions team is fun to watch. I hope they make the Super Bowl. It's just a fun, fun team. That is a good, good football team that's been fun to watch the last couple of years. Dan Campbell, I mean, he's crazy, But, man, oh, man, he's got him playing. He's play, he got him playing good
yeah,
football.
Yeah, the Lions make the Super Bowl. We're looking at what? At a minimum, 70 points scored between the two teams?
Oh, my God. And
how beat up they are defensively?
So my buddy is a Super Bowl ticket guy, and if the Lions make the Super Bowl.
It's good for him, right?
Oh, my God, the tickets will go through the roof. Through the roof. All those Lions fans that don't want to be there for their first ever Super Bowl? Are you kidding me? All right. And I know what I'll be drinking that week. That week of the Super Bowl. Coors Light.
Got a funny feeling.
Yep. I got a funny feeling I'm going to be drinking Coors. This is, and that's based on a true story. I like to start my Coors Lights commercials with, this is based on a true story. Poker this week, Coors Lights. Golf this week, Coors Lights. Just sitting around the house this week, Coors Lights. I mean, you could go out, you go to the bar, Coors Lights. I don't know. It just feels like it's part of my life. It feels like family to me. That's all. That's all. It does. I mean, I love me some Coors Lights. I love my kids. I love my wife. I love every, you know what? I do. I love the games. I love poker. I love golf, football. And I love my Coors Lights. It's just part and parcel of what you get. And I hope you're like me. I hope that you enjoy your cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Lights as well. Listen, whenever you're doing, I don't know what it is that you're doing, but it just is better. It's colder, it's cleaner, it's more refreshing, all right? Don't be parched. Don't drink that thick brown beer. That's not refreshing. Coors Light's refreshing with that Colorado water. Climb on, brother. Cool, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Keep Texas chill.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, some NFL news and notes. Bill Belichick to the Tar Heels? Holy crap, he actually interviewed for the job.
Yeah, this is a weird thing where college coaches don't want to be there anymore and pro coaches are looking at the jobs. Like, My guess is Bill Belichick would. Well, so here's what I was on a Zoom call, and a guy who was a former executive in pro football said that he was telling us that a lot of colleges now are going to they have to learn salary cap because they have, you know, their profit sharing mode or what are they calling it? Not profit sharing, but well, yeah, I mean it is. It's profit sharing. So you're going to have to start carving up. You've got X amount of dollars that you can spend for your team, and you got to know how to allocate. And so the NFL model, college has no idea how to do that. So now there are capologists and there are executives from the NFL who are being courted, you know, guys who are assistant GMs and stuff like that, who are being courted by colleges to come take over their programs because they don't know. They've got portal. You know, so they got recruiting, which is high school, portal, which is like pro. So on the pro side, you already have pro scouting where you look at all the other teams' pro players. You have college scouting where you got to look at the college players. It's now the same way in college. You got the high school and you got the college you're looking at and you got salary cap. It's exactly like NFL football now. And who controlled the New England Patriots from start to finish? It was Bill Belichick. He coached them. He had a hand in all of that stuff. So it is shocking in a way because I don't think Bill Belichick's going to love some of the college players he has to deal with, but and I'm not sure they're going to love him, but he has the experience. It's not shocking in that colleges are now looking for pro people because they don't know how to run salary caps and multiple evaluation areas. Because like I said, it's not just recruiting anymore. You literally have to scout colleges.
Listen, I understand why North Carolina wants Belichick.
Well, it's a ticket seller. Yeah.
Bill Belichick wants North Carolina.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I don't. Yeah. Why would you want to fool with Mac Brown got out of it? Did you see Mac the other day? Well, it's, you know, we had a great time here and it's been an amazing time. But, you know, quite frankly, it's the right time. And I didn't sign up for this. He said, this isn't the college football that I signed up for.
Yeah.
He said that on the way out.
Just the week before, he said, I'm going to make my decision on whether I'm going to come back.
He was already gone.
The next day, they said, okay, Mac's gone. You ain't making no decision here, Mac.
Yeah, you remember when Mac tried to pull that with Will? Remember when Will Muschamp was the head coach in waiting at Texas? And then Mac decided he wasn't going to shut it down, and Will Muschamp just kept waiting there, and finally Will Muschamp just said, I'm going to leave. I got to go. And then Texas had no succession plan when Mac was gone. They went Charlie Strong, and they went Tom Herman, and it didn't click for him. They didn't have a succession plan. North Carolina's not going to let Mac Brown decide when he goes. They're like, they're hoping he'd say, yeah, I'm going to shut it down. And then as soon as Mac said, I don't know. I may come back. Okay, we got to step in here. Uh-huh. We thought you were going to say you're going. It's been a good run, Mac. You don't really want to have to deal with all this portal stuff and NIL, do you? Do you,
man,
Mac?
Belichick is going to go, what the hell did I get myself
into? I think he is, because what he doesn't know is that players now are what you're dealing with now is actually a lot of dads. And this is the thing in the NFL. This is why so many NFL teams don't want to mess with Shador. It's true. They don't want to mess with Shador, right? Because it's like, I got to deal with
Deion
the whole time.
I'm not laughing at that. Someone tweeted us, considering who he dates now, he's just going for the co-eds.
Well, I mean, respect the hustle, but
well,
right now,
younger,
apparently
too.
In college right now, the biggest problem is all these dads who think their kids are superhuman, and high school coaches who are listening right now, like, we're dealing with it in high school. I know. No, I get it. It's totally a problem. But now in college, you've got every dad in the world, an uncle and anybody that's close, that now reaches out to the program, and they think they need a voice with the program to tell them their son should be playing and all this. And this is something they were kind of insulated from for a long time. Once they signed a guy, they had him, and they didn't have to, you know, placate him. Now that you have instant portal and instant access to leave, everybody, now you have to listen to, or you have to deal with all these dads who think their kids are the best players that have ever played, and they're way wrong in most cases.
Yep.
When you had a year that you had to sit out, you didn't have all that leverage. You had to kind of stick it out a little bit.
You know,
not now.
Speaking of which, of the daddies and all that stuff, Kurt Warner's son, who was at Temple, and then Rice, EJ Warner, who just quarterback.
He was at Rice?
Was at Rice. Yeah, we missed it. He's transferring again. I mean, talk about.
Either he can't play or he's really good.
Yeah, well, you lost your coach, so he's able to transfer again.
Yeah.
So now we'll see where EJ ends up. But it's like, man, every other year, I'm out of here.
That's a co-ed call. Well, he went there. He's like, I ain't playing in front of anybody.
No.
The girls here, I can't find somebody who – I can't find somebody who I think is going to be my soulmate, Mom. Like, well, yeah, that was kind of a long shot there, the soulmate one on campus. And then, yeah, you were never going to play in front of a bunch of people, son. That was not a huge surprise, actually.
You needed to know that before you went there.
Yeah, son, we didn't do our homework. Mike Bloomgren came from Stanford. He was actually a named coach. And when he took the Rice job, all I could think of was, I don't think he talked to the right people.
Yeah.
I feel like Bloomgren could have waited for one that gave him a better chance than Rice. No offense, Rice. I'm sure you're trying hard now that you have AD. Well, that's what I hear. Actually, Torrey Andrews told me the new guy is really – he's getting money in there. But even a new AD is going to step in and find – that's a lot of work, man. There's a lot of people there. The money don't really care that much about sports. That's the problem. At UT, at A&M, at University of Houston, wherever, you know – the money cares about sports. At Rice, the money cares about biology. It's tough. I mean, you do greater things in the world, but we're trying to get somebody.
Yeah,
we're trying to give some kid $1.6 million, some guard at $1.6 million so he can hold you hostage for the next year. Does that sound like something Rice is going to do?
No.
I do not think so.
No, Rice ain't doing that.
Unless he's like, does the equivalent of the polio vaccine. I don't know what the equivalent would be in 2024. But if this kid is a baller at biology, maybe we'll pay for that kid. Well, we'll just give him a grant.
Yeah. We get further and further away, but the fact that David Bailiff had two 10-win seasons in his time there.
Todd Graham had one. He was 1-0. Yeah, David Bailiff had a 10-win season.
Two of them.
He had two 10-win seasons. He should have been celebrated. He should have a statue at Rice. No one will know who it is,
and
ever.
He was a great guy. David Bailiff was a great guy, too. All right, we got a break. We got to catch up here. 713-780-3776, the number if you want to get in here. The only caller today did a commercial for us, so we appreciate him. If you got a commercial you want to do on the show, you're more than welcome to get in. Right now, I got a commercial I want to do. I want to talk about ProDunk.com. ProDunk.com, it's my peeps over there. Keith Tate. We've been talking about Keith Tate for 25 years now. We've been talking about this product that he has had. It is incredible. It's when you're the best of the best, and at ProDunk is the best of the best. I'm pretty sure it's over 30 years that Keith Tate has been doing this, giving baskets, putting baskets up around the city of Houston, and not only the city of Houston, he does it around the world. No, I'm serious. It's a worldwide business that he's got going on. But he started here in Houston, and it has been so good for him. The city has been so good for him, and it's because you guys have responded to the best goal that there possibly is. Dads. They want to play ball. They want to dunk. They want to have fun. They can't reach a 10-foot goal, especially those of you out there with little kids. You want them playing video games all day, or do you want them outside playing and working on their athleticism, working on their agility, working on everything that goes along with it? You never know, Dad, especially you got young girls. They get scholarships, okay, scollies. And you know what? But if they can shoot, so get them out there. And let them shoot. And when they're young, they can't reach the 10-foot goal, you lower the goal with a push of a button, and you got yourself your kids out there enjoying life out in your driveway. Get to ProDunk.com and see for yourself. ProDunk.com, that's ProDunk.com.